Good morning. Man, it's so good to see all of you here with us this morning. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, my name is Brian. I'm one of the pastors here. And I have the privilege today of kicking us off on a brand new series all about parenting. Now, here's the thing about parenting. I felt like I knew a whole lot more about parenting before I became a parent. Right? Anybody else? Right, before you were a parent, you look at all these parents with little babies, little toddlers, you're acting a fool in a restaurant. You're like, man, I can't believe those parents. And then you became a parent of a toddler, and your kid wouldn't behave in the restaurant. And you're like, I get it, right? Like, I think a lot of us, before we become parents, have a different idea about what it looks like and what it means, what it feels like, and some of the challenges that come with being a parent. Whether that's trying to parent a newborn, and this is your first time, and you got no idea what you're doing. Right, you went to the hospital with you and your wife and she was pregnant and you left with another life that you have to sustain and maintain and guide and direct and do all that other kind of stuff. And they didn't send you home with a manual or anything. They just sent you home. And here, I don't know about you parents, but when I remember bringing our first daughter home and she was still in the carrier and we just set her on the couch and looked at her and we're like, what do we do now? Like, I don't know. Don't look at me. I don't know, you know. And then they become the terrible toddlers. You guys remember? For those of you that don't have them anymore, you remember the terrible toddlers? They call it the terrible twos. That's a lie. It's the terrible toddlers because it don't stop at two. It's three and four, sometimes five. I got an eight-year-old toddler at home. She's driving me nuts, right? You just don't know. And then you get into that kind of that preteen age where they're trying to figure out identity and they don't know who they are and weird stuff starts happening in the body and they're all hormonal and weird. I got an 11-year-old at home. I know all about it, right? And then teenagers, I don't have one yet. I haven't had one yet, but I pray daily now because I've seen parents of teenagers and some of the struggles that go along with having teenagers. It looks hard. I'm scared. I might have two of them. Female. I'm nervous. So I'm not excited about the teenage years, right? And then you've got college and career and weddings and spouses, and then you get to see your parents become parents themselves, see your children become parents themselves, and man, there's so much to consider as we think about this scope of parenting that we're called to, or that we're given this life and then charged to lead and to guide and to direct this other life to be a functioning part of society and culture. And man, it's a bit terrifying from time to time. And so what we wanted to do, we felt like it might be helpful during this series to take a look at what the Bible has to say about being a parent. And again, I'm no expert. I'm in the thick of this with you. I don't feel like an expert, but I feel like that the Bible is. I feel like that Scripture provides for us a lot of insight on how to parent our children. And like I've already called your attention to, we've got parents in here in lots of different stages of their parenting journey. Whether your kids are still at home or whether your kids are grown and out, you still have to parent them. That's just part of this life as parents. Now, here's what I believe to be true. There are two types of people in this room. Number one is the kind of person that would say, I need this. I am overwhelmed. I don't know if I'm doing it right. I feel like I get it wrong. I need this series. I can't wait. And then there's the other type of person that says, man, I don't need this. I was a kid once. I can parent. I don't need to read a book. Hey, preacher man, just talk about the Bible. I don't need you to talk to me about parenting. I know what it means. I know what it was like to be a kid. I can do this. Here's what I would say to those people in the room. Saying, I had a kid once, I can parent, is kind of like saying, I had surgery once. I can perform surgery. Pretty much the same thing, right? Here's the sad reality, that just because you were a kid and are now a parent doesn't make you an expert on kids, and it doesn't make you an expert on parenting. That is not the prerequisite. Kids is more like having money, right? Just because you have money doesn't mean that you manage money well. Just because I can make money doesn't mean that you can manage money well. Just because you can make another life doesn't mean that you can manage another life well. So we're going to take the next 6 weeks, counting today, we're going to talk all about how we as parents navigate this difficult thing that God has called us to as parents. Because kids grow up so quick. And I heard that before I was a parent. Again, one of those things I just didn't understand. Right, that how quick it seems to go by and how short this window of time feels to leverage the influence into their lives that God has called us to leverage into their lives. And one, like, I catch myself now, like, maybe you too. Ever catch yourself, like, spelling stuff out to your spouse in front of your 8-year-old like she can't read? Anybody? Like, hey, after they go to bed, let's get some I-C-E-C-R-E-A-M. And then she's like, y'all got some ice cream? Like, oh, yeah, I forgot. She's not 3 anymore. Like, I can't spell stuff out in front of my 8-year-old anymore. You just can't do it. It goes so quickly. And here's what's true for all of us. And true for all of our children. That you are the product of your relationships. You are the product of the experiences that you've had. And you are the product of the decisions that you've made. You garner all those three things together. You become the sum total of your relationships, your experiences, and the decisions that you've made. What's interesting, though, is that when we think about of all those large experiences in our life, that it was our relationships, that there were some relationships involved in the greatest experiences of your life, weren't there? And when we think about the decisions that we've made, the big ones, the big decisions, whether they be the best decision we ever made or our most extreme regret, there were some relationships involved in those decisions that had a tremendous amount of impact on your decisions. So here's a big idea that I want to use to kind of frame out our time together here today, and it's this. Our key relationships have more impact on who we are than anything else. If you are, let me give you the recap. We're like 5 minutes into the sermon. I'm going to give you a recap. If you are the product of your relationships, your experiences, and the decisions that you make, and your relationships impact and influence the experiences that you have and the decisions that you make, then your key relationships have more impact on who you are than anything else. And I believe that there are 3 key relationships in the life of every person, and as it pertains to this series, in the life of every child. And it is these. It is our relationship with our parents. That is a key relationship in your life. Your relationship with your parents, whether it be good or bad, it is key to who you are. Your relationship with God, or lack thereof. Whether you do or do not have a relationship with God, has a lot to say about how you conduct your life. That is a key relationship. And then the relationships with people that you have outside of your home. That those 3 key areas, your relationship with your parents, your relationship with God, and your relationship with people outside of your home. Now think about your life as you just kind of reflect on back to your life up to this point. Imagine with me if you could go back to those key moments, those big moments in your life. What if you could go back and then kind of add in or take away some of those 3 key relationships? Think back to if you, right before that biggest moment of regret, if you could go back and add in a relationship with God that you didn't have then. Or if you had one, what if you could go back and just kind of turn up the intensity of God's impact and influence on your life right before your moment of greatest regret? How would things have been different if you could go back and dial up the intensity of God's impact on your life before that decision? What if you could go back to your childhood and dial in a little more dad, who was just seemed to be a little too preoccupied? What if you could go back and dial in more dad and dial in more mom? What if you could go back and dial in a little more dad and maybe a little less mom? You know, like maybe there's some instances in your life where I would have liked to have more or less of mom and dad. And you think about some of the situations that you found yourself in and the people that you were around. What if you could go back and just kind of remove that person, right? What if you could go back and kind of dial out that dude next door, right? Or what if you could go back and kind of dial out that girl down the street, right? What if we could remove some of the troubled relationships that we've had in our life throughout our history? What if we could go back and change our relationships? How different, how much better would our life could be if we could go back and kind of turn those dials and dial in more mom and dad, and dial in more God, maybe dial in some better influences and dial out some of the ones that had a negative impact on us. Imagine with me how much different, how much better our lives would be as a result. Here's the opportunity that stands before us as parents, is that we have the power and the potential to dial in and out those relationships in the lives of our children. And the sooner that we begin being intentional with how we leverage the influence that we have in the lives of our children, and dialing up our relationship with our children, and dialing up their relationship with God, and dialing in and out some of those relationships outside of our home, the sooner that we do that, the easier it is for us to influence them in a way that we know they want, that we want them to be influenced. Because let me tell you what I know is true about your kids. Is that your kids are right now and will be in the future the product of their experiences, their relationships, and the decisions that they make. Now, here's the truth for us as parents. I have absolutely zero control over all of the things that my children will experience. I cannot control what they are going to experience. There are things that are going to happen to my children that I have zero control over. I have zero or very, very, very little control over the decisions that my children make. I cannot make them make the right decisions everywhere in their life. And all the parents of teenagers said, amen, right? Like, well, you cannot make your children do the right thing and make the right choice. You have no control over their experiences and no control over the decisions that they make. But you have a huge amount of influence, and I would even argue some semblance of control over their relationships, specifically as it pertains to you, as it pertains to their relationship with God, and as it pertains to their relationship with people outside of your home. So write this down if you're taking notes this morning. As a parent, you have the most amount of control, maybe not total, but the most amount. You have the most amount of control in the area that matters most, because you have tremendous influence in and on the relationships in the lives of your children. And if we can be intentional, if we can begin to ask the question, what can I do? What can I do to turn up the volume of my relationship in the lives of my children? What can I do to turn up the volume of their relationship with God? What if we begin to ask the question of how we can be intentional with what we do to leverage our influence in the lives of our children, the sooner that we can do that, the better it's going to be for them. And again, it doesn't matter in what realm of life that you're in now or what realm of parenting you're in now. The sooner you start, even if they're out of the home, it's never too late to start trying to leverage the influence that God has given you in the lives of your children. Because isn't this true? Don't all of us sit with friends or in our small group or in a counseling session or in therapy or somewhere? Don't we sit and talk about our parents? Don't we talk with our friends and peers about the impact of our parents on our lives? Like, you know, my mom always da 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 da, or my mom never da da da, or I wish my dad would have da, da, fill in the blank, right? All of us do that. All of us sit in conversation with other people and we talk about our relationship and the impact of our parents. Now, here's what's true. One day, your children are going to sit, probably in counseling, and they're going to have a conversation about your role in their life. And right now stands before you the opportunity to determine a lot of what that content sounds like. Because you have a tremendous amount of influence in the lives of your children. You see, imagine with me if how it would have impacted you if at some critical junction in your life there had been more of an influence of the God stuff. If you could have dialed up a more intense relationship with God, imagine how things would have been, imagine how life would have been different if there had been more healthy, mature relationship with mom and dad. And imagine with me what it would have been like to have healthier and more mature relationships with those outside of your home. You see, here's the scary news for us, parents. It's our hands on the dials of those relationships in the lives of our children. You are the greatest influencer of your children's relationship with you. Did you know that? You're their first and primary relationship. You have more influence on your relationship with your children than anybody else. That makes sense. But likewise, you have more influence on your child's relationship with God than anybody else. The God that they see is most often the God that they will see in you. You have a tremendous role in how your children perceive and understand their Heavenly Father. And you have the most influence on who is in the life of your child outside of your home. That's the scary news. It's up to you. It's your responsibility. It's the call on your life because you are the greatest source of influence in the life of your child. That's the scary news. Here's the good news. God has an awful lot to say. There is tremendous amount of insight in God's word of how we can do this and how we can do it well and how we can work to enhance our children's relationship with us, how we can work to advance God's relationship in their lives, and how we can work to influence the relationships with people that they spend or time that they spend with people outside of our home. And so what I wanted to do for the rest of our time together here this morning is I wanted to give you a kind of an overview, a snapshot of what we're going to talk about over the next 5 weeks. This is your teaser because I want you to come back, right? There's so much to say about this. We couldn't fit it all into one message, or we'd have done just one message on parenting and moved on to something else. But we're going to spend the next 5 weeks. So I want to tell you a little bit about what we're going to talk about over the remainder of this series and show you a few of the verses that we're going to look at. We're going to look in 2 weeks, actually, at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 that says this. It says, fathers. And he's talking, again, address the fathers, but this could be fathers and mothers. This is more like parents in general. But fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, here's what that verse means. If you take it in its full context, then everything that it says is, parents, parent your children in such a way that you never lose influence. Do not so distance yourself from your children. Do not provoke your children. Other translations will say, do not exasperate, right? Do not so distance yourself from your children, whether it be through anger or just not being present, that you lose influence. And then there's another phrase there, the second half of the verse. It's one word in the Greek, but this term is translated for us to bring them up in the discipline instruction. That term, bring them up, again, single Greek word. And we'll learn in a couple weeks that this word means to nurture or to nourish. It's this highly structured, highly relational word with connotations of our constant involvement. In other words, you need to be so involved in the lives of your children, not distancing yourself and not being so interfering that you lose influence, but it is a constant process of parenting. You don't get to do it once and then it's good forever. I think sometimes we parent that way, right? Like if I make the discipline hard enough and strong enough, if I punish severely enough, then they will finally learn their lesson once and for all and they'll never do it again. And it always works, right? It never works. Do you know why it never works? Because that's not the way that God would have us to parent. You are a sinner trying to parent sinners. You are trying to lead a child as you yourself are trying to follow Christ. That's nearly impossible to do, which is why we need God's help. And again, this verse is telling us, don't be so absent that you lose influence, but don't be so interfering that you lose influence either. And we're going to talk about this transition between control and influence. We're going to talk about this transition from that time when they're little and you can pick them up and you can make them do anything that you want to do because you're physically bigger and stronger and you can make them do anything that you want them to do. But at some point, this transition happens where they get as tall as you and as big as you and they think as smart as you. and you can no longer make them do anything that you want them to do. And there has to be a transition in our parenting from this time when we can control our children to this time when we cannot control our children. And here's what we'll learn, that if you continue to try to use the control strategy when you are no longer able to control, that you are going to erode your influence and you're not going to have it when you want it the most. We're in their later stages of life when they're trying to choose a spouse or trying to determine where to go to college or trying to determine what they're going to do with their life. And that's the time that you're going to want influence in their lives. And you're not going to have it if you continue to try to control after you no longer have it. And we'll talk about that. The Bible talks about that. Isn't this insightful? That's in the Bible. We're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. The second thing that we're going to look at is our children's relationship with God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 say this. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths." Isn't this an incredible promise? That's an incredible promise from Scripture. That if you and I, if we will teach our children and if we will model for our children a life where we lean on God's intellect and God's leading instead of our own smarts, right? If we will lean on him instead of our own intellect, if we will lean on him and trust in him and lean not on our own understanding, if we will model that for our children, that God will engage with your children. That's the promise, that he will make their paths straight if they can learn from us how to lean on him instead of on themselves. We're going to talk about that next week. And again, this first requires us to see our children for the sinners that they are. They're imperfect people just like we are. They're not going to get it right the first time. That's why parenting is a process. And we'll learn together how to lead our children to follow Christ as we are in our own process of learning to follow. But if we can enhance our children's relationship with God so that they trust him with every area of their lives, then God will engage with our children. And what Christian parent doesn't want that for their kid? But we got to teach them. We got to model that. Because you have more influence in the life of your child than anybody else. And what they think of and how they interact with and how they're connected to their Heavenly Father has a lot to do with you. Has a lot to do with your relationship with God. So we'll talk about that next week. And the last thing that we'll look at is our relationship with children outside, or our children with people outside of our home. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." There's an interesting contrast in this verse that we'll look at together. This is whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. Like that's a positive. So this isn't just about keeping the bad kids out of your children's lives. That's not what it's all about. It's not just keeping out relationships, but it's making sure that you interject the positive ones. I want for my children to know that there are other adults in their life that love them apart from me. I want to make sure that my children are around positive adult influences, not just the good kids, but I want them to be around the good adults. So we'll talk about the value of the church relationships that we build here and our connect groups and all the positive things that my children and your children can experience when they're in a biblical community of being around like-minded people, like-minded Christians. Because smart parents always knew who their children are around. Now, here's what I know about every parent in the room. You are doing something right now to influence your children as it pertains to their relationship with you. You are doing something right now, whether you mean to or not, to detract or persuade your child's relationship with their Heavenly Father. And you are doing something right now to influence the relationships that they have outside of your home. And one day, your children are going to sit around and talk about the impact that you made on their life. And the question that we have to answer is, will we be wise enough to be intentional with the time that we have to ensure that those stories are as positive as we can make them? Will we be intentional enough to ensure that they are as connected as possible with us? Or will their story be this? Because here's something I see in our culture. I'm sure that all of us probably do to some extent. Like when your children sit and they talk about their relationship with you later, will it be, man, we were busy, 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 busy. Like we did a whole lot of stuff. But I don't ever feel like we just sat around and talked. I can't ever remember having a serious conversation with my parents. We did a bunch. We were experience rich. I mean, we did all kinds of stuff. I just never really felt like we were that close. Like, is that going to be their story? Will your children's story be, well, we went to church most weeks, and we were there, you know, we were there most of the time. But I don't ever really feel like my parents had a really close relationship with God, and they just never really made it a big deal. Like, going to church was a big deal, but my relationship maybe not so much. Like, what story are your kids going to tell when they're your age and talking to their friends about their parents? So I think there are three questions that you and I have to ask ourselves. And we have to be honest with ourselves, right? Because here's what I know to be true about me. So I'm going to project my deficiency and insecurity onto you. Because I think it's true about you too, but I can't tell you this true about you, so I'll tell you this true about me. I think of myself as a better parent than I probably am. I like to think that I'm doing a pretty good job. And so because I like to think, because it makes me feel good to think that I'm doing a good job with my kids, I'm very prone to give myself the benefit of the doubt. I do. Like when I look back over some horrible parenting decisions, this is what I tell myself. I probably shouldn't have yelled, but she deserved it. I probably shouldn't have broke her iPad over my knee. I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. I didn't do it. There are times I'd like to. And I think I could probably justify it, right? Here's all I'm saying. As we spend some time this week and over the course of this series evaluating our parenting, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to give yourself the benefit of the doubt. I don't want you to live in the utopia of, I'm a parent because I'm a good parent because I was a kid once. I don't want us to live there. Because I think there's a lot of work that all of us can do in ensuring that our children's lives are very positively influenced by our relationship with them, their relationship with our Heavenly Father, and their relationship with people outside of our home. So here's three questions that we all have to ask and be honest with ourselves without giving ourselves the benefit of the doubt, and it's these. Number one, what are you doing? What are you intentionally doing to enhance your children's relationship with you? And I didn't put intentional in the words that are on the screen, but that's how I want us to think. What am I intentionally doing? What am I doing on purpose to make sure that I am enhancing my children's relationship with me? What are you doing to enhance your child's relationship with you? What are you doing on purpose? Number two, what are you doing to advance your children's relationship with God? What are you doing to advance, to move it forward? We talk a lot here at Fusion City about next steps, right? What is your next step in your journey with your Heavenly Father? What's your next step in the process of becoming more connected with your Heavenly Father? We want to ask that same question of our children. What is my child's next step in their relationship with God? And what am I doing to ensure that they take that next step? What am I doing? How am I being intentional with how I lead my children towards a relationship with their Heavenly Father? There has to be this intentionality. Again, don't give yourself the benefit of that. Well, I mean, we kind of, don't do that. Think about it. Think specifically. What steps am I taking to ensure that I'm advancing my child's relationship with their Heavenly Father? And then question number three, what are you doing to influence your children's relationships with others? Again, that's not just about removing the bad kids, but it's making sure that they're around the right people, both peers, both kids and adults. What are you doing intentionally to ensure that the relationships that are in the lives of your children are the kind of relationship that you want your children to have? Now, one of the big ways, and we try to give you as many opportunities to apply everything that we talk about here on stage, we try to give you as many opportunities as we can provide to help you do the things that we believe Scripture tells all of us to do. And if we as parents are supposed to be, and we are, if we're supposed to be intentional with the relationships that are in the lives of our children, with people outside of our home, I cannot think of better ways to garner those relationships or to encourage or to strengthen those relationships than to have your children not... One, in our children's ministry here at the church, we spend a lot of time designing. Chris, our children's director, spends just tons of time and effort making sure that is a quality program for your children to learn about God on their level. So I'm going to encourage you that if your kids aren't going to our children's ministry, they need to be. There's a lot of great stuff going on over there in that other building. And I praise God for our kids volunteers that spend time with your kids and my kids, because dang, right? Like I can't do it. I couldn't do it, but they do, and they do a fantastic job. But not only that, but we want you and your family to be in a connect group. We talk about them all the time, and that's not just for you, but it's for your kids. We want your kids to know other adults that are believers. We want them to be in biblical community with other adults. I can't talk enough about our connect groups and the positive impact that they've had on my life and my family's life and so many others. You heard from Rick and Carmen earlier. You heard from Reese last week. Like we love the benefit of our groups. If you're not in a group, they start this week. It's not too late. You can still get in a group. And not only are we going to talk about the benefit of the lives of the adults in our connect groups and the lives of our children, but we're going to talk about these three questions this week in our connect group. We're going to talk about these things in a group this week with other adults, with other parents that are struggling just like me. And I'm going to sit down, and they're going to ask me, and I'm going to ask them, hey, what are you doing to enhance your child's relationship with you? Maybe I can learn from you, or maybe you can learn from me. So, hey, what do you do in your kid's life to advance their relationship with God? Like, what are you doing? Like, when do you guys do your prayer time? Do you guys pray at night before you all go to bed? Do you hold hands, or do you read a book? Like, what do you do? Like, let's have those conversations this week and figure out how we can become a better influence. You've got the influence. Now we're going to talk about how we leverage that influence for the benefit of our children. One of the best places to figure that out, to talk through it, is in connect groups. Now, look at me. If your children are out of the home, who better? Like, I want you in my connect group. Like, I want to know what you did. I want to know what you did wrong so I don't do it. And I want to know what was successful for you. If you're not still actively daily parenting your children, man, you're the people I want to talk to. I'd love for you to be in our connect group. In a connect group, any connect group. I'd love you to be in mine. We don't have anybody with kids out of the house just yet. Like, I'm looking for some of them. I can't say enough about the value of walking through this stuff together, because like we started off with this message, parenting's hard, isn't it? Isn't it hard? It's hard. And it doesn't matter that there are different challenges at every stage, from newborn to I'm a grandparent now. There are challenges all along the way. We need each other. We need each other. I need your insight. You need mine. And we're going to get it from the Bible, and we're going to talk through it together. So that's my connect group plug. You need to be in a group. Now, over the course of this series, the next several weeks, we're going to dive deeper into these three key relationships that I've laid out for us today. So here's what that means. You got to come back. Now, this is not like a 1 week, all right, I'm going to answer these three questions. I'm going to do a little bit of each of them, and my kids are going to be good. It's not going to work that way. Like, I want you to have the opportunity to further understand as we unpack and delve deeper into each of the verses that we looked at together today, and additional content as well. This is not the only three things we're going to talk about, but we're going to cover these and more in this series. I'm telling you, if you are a parent that is either struggling or you are a parent that's killing it, this series is still for you. Or if you had kids or if you had parents, right? Like, however that works for you, we want you to come and be part of this for the rest of the series as we learn and work through together how to become the godly parents that God, would, that our Heavenly Father would have us to be as we leverage the influence that He's given to us in the lives of our children. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning as we delve into this difficult thing that you've called a lot of us to as parents, Father, or for those of us that one day hope to be parents, or God, for those of us that are parenting children that are now outside of our home or have kids themselves, God, I just believe that your word has so much to say about this to all of us that there's no one in this room that can't benefit from it. And Father, for the students that are here, as they even now hear and learn about the relationship that they should have with their parents, God, I pray that you would speak boldly and confidently into their lives also, Father, as we learn together how to manage the dynamic between parent and child. So, Father, would you help us to hear clearly and to understand perfectly what your word has to say about this tremendous call on the lives of parents. Father, we know that it's difficult, but we know that you're there to help us. And so, Father, we ask for your hand on us as we seek to evaluate where we currently are as parents, is where we seek to make changes. God, would that be guided and led by the presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives? God, would you show us where we're deficient and help us to make the changes that would not only bring the most honor to you, but that would most directly benefit these children that you've called us to lead. Father, we know that we need your help to do it. And so we ask you, God, to come and be with us as parents. We love you, God. We thank you for the hope and the peace and the joy that we have through Jesus, your Son. It's in his name I pray. Amen and amen.